Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Welcome once again to Prophetic Atmosphere. I thank God for each and every one of you that have joined me here tonight, that we come to the Master's table together and hear what thus saith the Lord. Amen and hallelujah. Glory to God. I do want you to grab your Bibles with me, people of God, and turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. Amen. We're going to start at the first verse. The book of Samuel chapter 16. We're going to start at the first verse. Amen. And we're going to read down. Amen. From there and just go as the leading of the Holy Spirit has given me to do. Amen. And while you're doing that, I just want to go quickly into the announcements. Amen. Amen. Every Tuesday, 7 p.m., join my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, for his show, Kingdom Lifestyles. That's every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Every Thursday night at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. That's Thursday night at 7 p.m. And also, every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday morning, amen, at 8:30 a.m., join us for our live worship experience, amen, with Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Glory to God. Amen. I am excited about what God has done and is doing in our lives. Amen. If you are in the Brevard area, especially the city of Cocoa, I invite you personally to our church. Amen. The address is 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121. That's Christ the King Redemptive Ministries at 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121. In the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida, 32922. Amen. That's one more time. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, Cocoa, Florida. Zip code is 32922. Services, amen, once again, on Saturday start at 9:30 a.m., intercessory prayer at 9, amen, and Sunday morning, intercessory prayers at 8 a.m. Services start promptly at 8:30 a.m. You don't want to miss it. We're having a powerful time in praise, worship, amen. The word of God that comes forth, amen. It is going to be a high time in the Lord. Glory to God. And also, while you're at our website, www.ctkr.org, amen, we definitely invite you to become a prayer partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. The gospel needs to be heard around the world. The message has not changed. Jesus saves. Amen. And he wants to do a work in the lives of his people because he is soon to come. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want you to be ready. Amen. For his coming. Amen. Glory to God. That is our website once again, www.ctkr.org. Amen. If you want to know more about us, or if you just want someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, amen, as well as if you would like to invite us to your ministry, right there on the website, go to the Contact Us page, follow the instructions there, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. Amen. Do know that we here, our intercessors here, are praying for you. Amen. Yes, we are definitely praying for you. Amen. Glory to God. Excuse me. And finally, people of God, I want to tell you about our upcoming events. Listen, I'm excited. I want to personally invite you, extend my warm invitation to you to come and meet me here October 16th through the 19th, Women of Prophetic Destiny. That's my conference. Amen. We are in our 11th year, and every year God has not failed to disappoint us. Amen. It's been a powerful move on his behalf. Amen. Giving God all the glory, signs, wonders, and miracles have came from the house. Amen. His name has been lifted up. Amen. People have been healed, delivered, and set free. Amen. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That is my Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. Amen. October 16th through the 19th. Our speakers are as such. Thursday night on the 16th at 7 p.m., we have co-pastor Catherine Montgomery. Amen. That's on October 16th. October 17th, we have Associate Pastor Carol Jones. Amen. Associate Pastor Carol Jones. That's October 17th. October 18th, amen, we have co-pastor Roshonda Bryant Jones. Amen. You don't want to miss that. On Saturday morning, we have my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, coming forth with the word of the Lord. Amen. And then I, yours truly, will be concluding the matter at 4 p.m., amen, the conclusion of the service on the 19th. I am excited about what God is doing. The theme for this year is a call back to holiness, amen, a call back to holiness. Call a neighbor, tell a friend, bring somebody with you, amen. Let us come together, amen, and just give God the best praise that we know how, expecting, amen, for him to show up, expecting the glory of God to be revealed in the lives of his people. People are coming from all over. Amen. We got people all the way coming from Ohio and different places like that just to be in, amen, this atmosphere, amen, that's already charged with his presence and his glory. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And that is on October 16th through the 19th. Amen. And on the same month, at the end of the month, October 31st and November 1st, we're having our singles conference. Amen. That will be coming. More information will be coming to you there real shortly. And then upcoming in the month of January, we have Bishop Camille White coming for our third weekend, my Women of Prophetic Destiny Fellowship. Amen. Third weekend. Amen. She's going to be coming to deliver the word of God as the Spirit leads her. And then in January 29th to February 1st, our young people, Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference, is going to be live and in full effect. Amen. The young people are on fire. I am glad and excited about what God is doing through our young people, the next generation. Amen. The Joshua Generation. Ooh, glory to God. They're on fire, and I want to be in that fire right along with them. I don't want to miss a thing. I don't know about you. I don't want to miss a thing that God is doing in the lives of his people. Amen. So check us out. Once again, that address is 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida, 32922. Amen. And his name is greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Now, again, those are the announcements and the upcoming events, people of God. Govern ourselves accordingly, and I look forward to seeing you soon. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, Amen. Switching gears briefly, people of God, let us go to that book of 1 Samuel. Amen. Book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. Let's start at the first verse. Amen. Working on technology. Amen. One moment, people of God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Whew. Thank you, Lord. 1 Samuel 16, starting at the first verse. Hold your finger there. Amen. While we prepare to pray. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Glory. We bless you and we praise you. We, your people, come as humbly as we know how. We fall at your feet this evening, God, humbling ourselves, but yet grabbing the horns of the throne, the horns of the altar this evening. God, as we come, we just want to say thank you. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. God, you kept us all day. Your hand of protection kept us. We thank you. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus over each and every one of our lives and over our family's lives and over those lives that we are connected to in the body of Christ. God, we thank you. Now, Father, I invite the presence of the Holy Spirit right wherever your people may be. Those that are listening on the broadcast, God, wherever they may be, let them feel the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit as we go forth in your word on tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, in Jesus' name, I decrease that you may increase in me. Stand up strong, Holy Spirit. I give you permission to do so. Anoint these lips of clay. Speak forth your oracle. Speak forth your word. Renew minds, God. Heal sick bodies. Deliver. Break shackles and yokes. Break the hand of the enemy that is back on tonight in Jesus' name. Set the people free in the name of Jesus. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you. You're a defeated foe. Take your hands off the lives of God's people. Off of their ministries. Off of their churches. Off of their finances. Off of their homes. Off of their children. Off of their lives. Every area. We speak it now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, raise up that army. Oh God, give us the wisdom. Give us a spirit of understanding. You said in all thy getting, get an understanding. Give us the spirit of understanding, your wisdom, your knowledge. Help us to discern the times and the seasons that we live in. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Help us, God. Awaken us now out of our sleep and out of our slumber. Open up our deaf ears. Give us hindsight. Give us insight. Give us foresight in the spirit realm, in the realms of the spirit. Help us to understand and rightfully speak forth instructions divinely given by you in the name of Jesus. Help us to discern once again the times and the seasons that we live in and stand as a guard and stand as a warning, hallelujah, for the body of Christ, that we may live holy, that we may live righteous, that we will lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us, every excuse, God, every stronghold breaking now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, bring us back to holiness. Bring us back to, help us to walk circumspectly unto you, God. We thank you. We praise you. I glorify you. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. right wherever you are. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands before the Lord and give him praise. Hallelujah. Now worship him right where you are. Just give him some beautiful words of worship from the fruit of your lips. You're so holy, God. You're so righteous, God. We love you, Lord. You're beautiful. You're magnificent and holy. Glory. We can't help you but worship your name. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We can't make it without you, Lord. Ah! We can't make it without you. Woo! We bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Ah, thank you, Lord. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting at the first verse, the word of God reads as such. I'm reading out the New King James Version on this evening. It says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons.' And Samuel said, 'How can I go if Saul hear it? He will kill me.' But the Lord said, 'Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you.'" Hallelujah. Go down to, let's keep reading. "So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, 'Do you come peaceably?' And he said, 'Peaceably, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice.' Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before me.' But the Lord said, 'Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.' So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' Then Jesse had Shammah pass by, and he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, 'The Lord has not chosen these.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all the young men here?' Then he said, 'There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here.' So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is the one.'" 13. "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Hallelujah. So here we have, people of God, just a few passages beforehand. We talked about briefly how God had rejected Samuel. Pretty much God was tired. He said, "I chose you, and when you were yet small in your own eyes, I chose you." But one thing about Saul, amen, when Samuel poured the oil, amen, upon Saul's head, it said that Saul became another man. When Christ comes into your life, when he really comes into your life, you become another man. You become another woman. You're not the same. You may look the same, you may sound the same, amen.
dress the same. But when Jesus comes to live on the inside of you, everything about you changes. So Saul became another man. But even though his heart changed, his mind remained the same. The Bible gives us a scripture and say, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So even though you may have gotten saved, you gave the Lord your heart, it is a daily task that you must ever keep before you, that your mind has to constantly be renewed. Woo! I feel the Spirit of the Lord. Constantly be renewed in his word. We must make a conscious effort to walk before him circumspectly. We must make a conscious effort to live a righteous and holy life before God. His word says, be ye holy, for I am holy. That message, that one message never changed from the Old Testament to the New to now. We are held accountable, people of God, to a higher standard. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Than we were once held to. For those of us who have been walking with him for quite some time, the bar has lifted. It's gone up. And the times that we live in now, the bar has gone up so greatly that many of us, because we are not able to discern the season and the times that we are really living in, we're still thinking that God is excusing our mess-ups, excusing our mishaps, excusing our proclivities. When in reality, God has or is holding us to a higher standard in his kingdom. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life, and he began to teach you and train you through life's experiences, through his word, through us laying aside our weights and differences and sins, as he began to walk with us and we began to understand his voice clearly. And every time that we have done that and walked in obedience to him, the bar, the spiritual bar, has raised a little bit higher. And what has happened for some in Christ is that God has raised the bar up 12 notches, and many are still trying to operate as though he's only lifted it 3 notches. What are you saying, prophetess? I'm saying that he is no longer winking, excusing, or allowing us to use our excuses, as I said before, our proclivities, using our sins, our weights, amen, as a reason, as an excuse, amen, to remain in the state that we once were. Now, am I saying that we are perfect? By no means. By no means. If we were perfect, we would not need him. But I'm not talking about that, because we should be forever maturing in the kingdom, maturing in God, maturing in understanding who he is, maturing in going deeper in prayer, maturing in ministering the gospel to other people, maturing in our gifts, maturing in our lifestyle, living a holy lifestyle before him. And we all know that what has happened is many have not upheld. I'm coming out of, I'm still going back to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Many that God has chosen, they started off well, like Saul. They started off well with him. But somewhere along the line, they've allowed people, persons, places, things, feelings, emotions, desires, hurts, past experiences, amen. They've allowed different things to intervene in their life, and they have taken a different pathway from what God has ordained from them. And some feel that because they are whether in leadership, and I'm not here to pick on leaders at all, but for some who are in leadership or for some who have been saved for a number of years, we have a habit of quickly quoting the scriptures to everybody else, but privately losing our own battles. For those God has called, like Saul, he anointed, he appointed, he set them forth, he gave them instructions, a task, an assignment to do. They started off well, but they started making serious decisions that brought forth bad complications. So in the end, and we can see it now, even more so than now than ever, that God is removing people's candlesticks. Now, am I saying that everybody that God has removed is, has sin in their life? No. There are some people that have stayed the path, stayed true to what God has said. They've completed their task, and because their assignment is done, now he's called them home. Welcome in thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But there are some, like Saul in chapter 16, where God has said, you've been fired. And the problem is, for those of us who are not attuned to the spirit of discernment that definitely has to be very active in your life, more so now than ever, we must be able to discern, amen, the move of God versus the move of man versus the move of the Antichrist. We have to be able in this season, more so than ever, sharpen our spirit of discernment. Many, the anointing has lifted. God has rejected them. He's fired them. He's kept them in the position because in the background, in the cave of Adullam, in the background, he's been raising and grooming another to take their stead. In verse 16, God tells Samuel, listen, how long are you going to mourn for this man? It's already over. What happens? I know we like to talk about how merciful God is. I know we like to talk about his love is so vast and so great. His grace and mercy is, you know, just hard to even speak of. That's how wonderful he is, and it's true. But there comes a point in time, people of God, where God says enough is enough. He's been dealing with you. He's been talking to you. He's been sending words. He's been sending people from the north, south, east, and west. You've opened up the book. You've been reading the messages. You've been hearing the messages in different places, but yet you refuse to change. You refuse to go, or you refuse to stop. You refuse to straighten up the pathway and get on the pathway of righteousness or whatever God has told you to do that he really wants you to do, but you refuse. You've allowed people, persons, places, things, the money, the fame, the voices, people in your circle, amen, talk you out of what God has called you to do. Sometimes it's just ourselves. We like what we're doing. We like where we're at. It's comfortable to us. This brings me fame. This brings me, people hang on my every word when I speak. But is that what God has told you to do? if that's not what he's told you to do. And he constantly, what I love about him is that even with Samuel, with Saul, he wooed. The Holy Spirit will woo you. That's what I love about the grace and mercy of God, because he won't just give up on you like some of us will. He'll constantly woo you and pull you and come on back. Come on now. It's going to be all right. Just do what I asked you to do. Do you love me? Do you trust me? Do you believe in me? I will do all of this. I will give you all of that. I will bring you before this. I'll stop all of this if you just adhere to my voice and do what I've called you to do. But there comes a point in time when he says, enough. Since you have made it up in your heart to do what you want to do in spite of, then I will raise up another. I don't know about you, child of God, but I don't want God raising up another in my stead. I want to be able to complete all what he has for me. I want to complete all what he wants me to complete. Even if I pass it on to the next generation, I'm fine, but at least let me run my race and get to pass the baton to someone else instead of running the race and getting tired and getting weak and getting weary and getting distracted and falling in the middle of the race and never being able to pass the baton to the next generation. He says, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? And here we see many people currently have been rejected by God, and now God is beginning to choose others to raise up in their stead. I'm just here to repeat that you're getting ready to see a lot of people, and I've said it before. I don't know who else is saying it, but I know the Lord spoke it to me in the beginning of 2014, that he is getting ready to raise up people that have been in the background, that have been in the pits, that have been in the caves, that have not bowed down to Baal, that have kept true and faithful to his word, that have stood at the test, that have believed him and trusted in him. God is getting ready to bring you forward. Because why? He knows he can trust you. He knows that you're going to complete the assignment on your life. He knows that you are going to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knows that your heart is for souls, just like his heart is for souls. He knows that you're not going to allow the enemy to do what he wants to do, that you are going to use the authority and the weapons that are in your hand that he's given you by the Holy Spirit and fight the good fight of faith. He knows this, so he's bringing them forward. They're not going to change their message because of the money. They're not going to change their message because of who they're connected to. They're going to stay the path. They're going to stay the course. Are you that one? Are you that one, woman of God? Are you that one that God is going to use in this next season? I know everybody's been talking about the double blessing. Amen. But we really have to look at this. If all God is talking about, or let me say it like this. If everywhere you're going, excuse me, and the only thing that seems to be coming forth out of the mouths of the prophets and apostles are your houses, your cars, your furs, amen, the money, how great and grand you're going to be, I would start backing up very, very quickly from those words of smooth, you know, those nice smooth words that make us feel good. Because Jesus is soon to come, and if you're really tuned into what Christ is doing, he's constantly sending messages. He's constantly showing us, amen, what is happening in the earth. The earth is moaning and it's groaning and it's waiting for the sons of God to begin to manifest themselves, to realize the power and the authority that rests on the inside of them. He's raising them up. But many of us have an identity crisis, amen, a spiritual identity crisis. We don't know who we are in God. And if you don't know who you are in God, you cannot effectively operate in the kingdom. We can't operate in the kingdom. And many are frustrated spiritually because they're being told that you need to do it like this and you need to do it like that. And until you do it like me and until you're doing this over here like that, you're nobody. But the devil is a lie. If God only called you to three, you're faithful over that three. First of all, let's really be honest. God is not the author of confusion. And if God has been speaking to you by his spirit and telling you who you are and sending word from different places telling you who you are, why is it that only one voice has to come and tell you that you're not, that we fall off the path? Five people could tell us this is what the Lord is saying, and they can say the exact same thing, but it only takes that one person to say something opposite, and we fall off. Our emotions are wrecked. Our minds are flabbergasted. We're running around with blinders on, trying to feel our way in the dark. And crying out to God, like, oh, God, help me, Lord. When is it my time and my season? How am I? Who am I? Who am I? Go back to that first word. Go back to those words. Look in those books that you have been keeping on your bedside. Look back to those words that you have been recording in your phone or wherever else you recorded it at. Begin to rehearse what God has said about you. Because what has to happen, people of God, is that we need a paradigm shift in our mind. Women of God, we need a paradigm shift in our minds. We're not defined by what we do. We're defined by who he's called us to be. We've got it tricked where we think we're defined by what we do. We're defined by who he called us to be. What and who has he called you to be? Besides a child of the king. That's the first thing he's called you to be, is a child of the king. You're not defined by what the pastor says and what the people say, what family say about you. You're defined by what he says about you. Now, am I saying toss out all divine instruction from him by other men and women of God that he places in your life? By no means am I saying that at all. I don't believe in endorsing rebellious ministers or women, men of God, rebellious apostles, prophets, the fivefold. I don't believe in endorsing anything that does not believe in being submitted and submissive to authority. Not endorsing that at all. But what I am saying is this, in order to understand, and you always hear people say this, you have to understand who you are and whose you are. Who you are is a child of the king, and who and whatever whoever he's called you to be. In other words, I am a child of the king, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. You are a child of the king and whoever God called you to be. Whether you're walking in the, whether he called you to be behind the pulpit, or whether he called you to be a teacher, or whether he called you to be a scientist, whatever he's called you to be, first and foremost, the first thing is he called you to be a child of the king. Who you are, whose you are, is the second thing we have to settle. The Bible says, Jesus told his disciples, he said, my food is to do the will of the one that sent me and to complete his work. Your food, my food. All right, let's take out the word food. Your assignment, your purpose, your task is to do the will of the one that sent you and to complete his work. Whatever he ordained you to do, whatever he told you to do, it's your responsibility to complete that work. So until we settle those things within us, without having other people define us and tell us who we are, because let's face it, I'm going to be honest with you. People can see an anointing on your life, and because you don't see it, and people will define what they feel comfortable with on you. People can see a powerful anointing on your life and will never tell you how powerful you are. They will find some kind of way to dummy you down and control you and lock you in, where you will never seek to fulfill your full potential in God. So, if you choose to live that life and never rise above to the occasion that he's called you to, then God says, I've had enough, love you, but I can't use you. So I have to root you out, move you over, replant you, just like he did, replant somebody else in your stead, just like he did Saul with David. And here we have, going back to the scripture now, he tells Samuel, listen, fill your horn with the oil. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. We must never think, women of God, that God is going to forever wait on us. We must never think that there's not a backup, that we can never be replaced. We must never get that into our psyche, even into our heart, that he can't do it without us. My spiritual mother used to say there's always someone that is out there under a bridge, walking the streets, shooting up, cracked out, messed up, drunk, that can out-preach you, out-play you, out-sing you, I'll pray you, I'll prophesy you. You understand what I'm saying? Can outthink you. Smart as a whip. It's always somebody that God has as a B, a C, a D plan. And here we have it. He said, fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And then Samuel said, listen, I can't go, because if I go, Saul's going to take me up out of here. And the Lord said, I got a plan. Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Women of God, never fear what God has purposed in your heart. Because God always has a plan for you to outsmart the enemy. Don't worry about who's trying to block you, who's trying to stop you. Don't worry about those who are trying to spread lies about you, all the hater aid and all of that stuff we always talk about, which I believe that we spend too much time talking about our haters than we do talk about the glorious exploits of our Lord and Savior. But one thing I know is that God always has a plan. It is our duty. It's our design that we must seek him in prayer, seek him in his word, so that God will give us the revelation that we need to overcome the plan of the enemy. He did it right here for Samuel. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. And then when you get there, get to where I want you to go. Talk to Jesse and bring him to the sacrifice. And then I'll show you what to do. For you shall anoint for me the one I will name to you. Now for some of us, for those of us who like the big picture, we can't do anything until I see the big picture. I can't move until I see the big picture. I know what you're saying, but I need to see it. If I don't see where you're going, if I don't believe in what you're doing, I can't move. Well, you're going to have a hard time living this Christian life, because We serve a God that we cannot see. We have a Holy Spirit on the inside of us that we cannot physically touch. It's by faith. It's by faith that we accepted him into our life as Lord and Savior. In other words, what Prophetess is saying is that when God gives us instructions, he's not always going to give you the big picture. He's going to give you just enough. He's going to give you exactly what you need to get you to the next stage. And when you get to that stage, then he'll give you the other portion that you seek. For many of us, we're in trouble. We struggle. We're frustrated because we're waiting on God to give us the next five steps down the road before we even take the first step. And God is looking at you with his arms crossed like, really? Unless you trust me. We believe in him. We have faith to believe in him, but we don't have the faith to trust him. All you got to do is read the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. From Noah all the way across the board into the New Testament, it was by faith that these men and women of God did the great exploits that they did in him. And God wants to do those same great exploits in your life and my life. But we are going to have faith in him and faith and trust that he's going to do what he said. So for those of us who have a hard time, I got to see the big picture. Well, being saved is going to be very difficult for you. Because being the sovereign God that he is, he's not going to show you the big picture. He's going to show you the first step. And it's your job and my job to take that first step. And after we do that, then he'll show us the next step. And the next and the next. Because in him we live, we move, we have our being. As we trust him, the more he reveals, the more. Because he really knows that if he showed you the full picture, many of us would actually take off salvation and never pick it up again if he really showed you all what you would have to endure for his name's sake. Let's be honest. For some of the stuff that we have endured even up until this point, if God would have showed you beforehand what you were going to have to go through, what you were going to have to deal with, who you were going to have to deal with, you would not even accept him in your life. You'd be like, oh no, I'm cool. I got my own problems, but at least with these problems, I know what I'm dealing with. But do know this, that every trial, every test, every challenge that he's taken you through, that it's all working for the good. It's made you who you are today. It's made you trust him greater than you did in the beginning. It made you, amen, your tests and trials that you have gone through, it made you know God at a greater level than you ever known him before in your life. You known him. He showed himself strong in your life. You was like, can't nobody tell me who my God is because I know him right here. Nobody can shake you from that. So we have to trust him. God will always give you a plan to outsmart the enemy. Don't get frustrated. Don't get tired. Don't give up. And let me tell you this, God is not in frustration. God is a God of peace. Anytime you're feeling frustrated and anxious in your spirit about whatever situation it may be, know that is not of him. Anytime that you begin to be challenged in your thoughts and challenged in your salvation and challenged, you're not this and you're not that and God didn't call you to be. Know that that is nothing but the voice of the enemy speaking in your ear. And you have the power and the authority to rebuke him when you know the word, who you are, and whose you are. Because a lot of us accept thoughts randomly without recognizing where those thoughts are really coming from. The thoughts I have towards you are thoughts of peace. So if I'm not feeling peace in my spirit or my mind, then I know it's nothing but the enemy. He says this, when I talked about he makes a way of escape for us. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you, talking about Saul now. He gave Saul an exit strategy, because Saul was worried about, he gave Samuel an exit strategy because Samuel was worried about Saul killing him, because Saul even realized that the anointing had lifted. It was over. His time was up. He was just holding a spot until God was preparing somebody else. You need to take courage. Because right now, God may be somebody, as I talked before, the anointing is lifted off of somebody's life. God has removed candlesticks, and now he's getting ready to set you and set I into places that where we should have been. People were holding our spot temporarily while he was preparing us. So now when he sends you forth, and whatever he's called you to do, woman of God, whatever he's called you to be, woman of God, don't make the same mistakes that you saw others make. Listen, he said, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 3, 16, 1 Samuel 16 and 3. He says, then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one that I name you. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming. Do you come in peace? And he said, I come in peace. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Now sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Now, the season that God is preparing us and getting ready to enter us into, we cannot go with the same baggage that we have been carrying with us for the last several years. God is calling us even more so now. And for those of us who he has been speaking to and giving us wisdom and giving us revelation, we have to walk more circumspect than we have ever had before. In other words, it is time to get back into strategic prayer. It's time to get back into travailing. It's time to get back into putting the plate down. Amen. It's time to really get back to seeking his face. It's really time to start digging our heels in prayer, getting deep in prayer, getting deep in the word, getting deep in seeking him and hearing and listening and looking for him to move. Expecting him to move. Sanctify yourselves. I know the Lord spoke to me and said, listen, I'm getting ready to do A, B, and C. And as I do it through you, number one, don't forget to give me the glory. Number two, walk circumspect before me. You want the flow of the anointing. You want the greater level of anointing, the greater level of revelation, prayer, whatever you really truly have been asking, what's been on your heart to ask God for, then there is a requirement that you must fulfill. He's not just going to throw his anointing on you, a greater anointing on you so you could act crazy, a greater anointing on you so you could fall to the wayside just like the previous one he just moved. No, he's giving you a requirement. He's saying, listen, I am going to do this. Number one, don't forget to glorify my name in it. Don't ever think it was you. And number two, keep your lifestyle holy and sanctified before me. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. That's what he said. We have many people that are coming to God and not really really seeking to become clean before him, seeking to make changes before him. The Holy Spirit doesn't just show up so we can have a good time in him. He comes so that anything, like the old saints used to say, my spiritual mother used to say, anything that's not like him, I want him to remove it so that I can become more like him. As I stated before in many of my broadcasts in the past, is that when God looks at us, he is looking for his son to be reflected back at him. We are shaped in his image, but he's looking for the character of Christ in us and through us. And for some, we got the image, but we don't have the character. We don't have the lifestyle. And so we come to church. Many come to church, and they don't want to change their lifestyle. They just want the feeling. But when you go and seek him for the glory, when you're seeking him become more like him, and his glory begins to shine, and we see the Shekinah glory and the Kabod, and all the, we're asking for the weight of him to come in, then anything that's not like him, it begins to press that out. It begins to push that out, because all he wants to see is the anointing and the oil of his son flowing through you, the spirit flowing through you. So whenever I come, even in my prayer, I even hear prayers nowadays. We used to ask God as we were praying over the congregation, Lord, every sin, forgive us and wash us. Now when you hear people pray, they don't even ask or repent for nothing. They just, Lord, bless us, bless us, bless us, bless us. He's not going to bless over sin. Yes, he reigns on the just and the unjust. I know that scripture as well. But how much greater will he bless if you walk circumspectly? How much greater can he begin to open doors in your life and begin to do things for you for his glory if you will seek after his heart? David was a man after his own heart. Yes, David had issues. David had some struggles, sure enough. And you're going to have some issues. I'm going to have some issues and some struggles, sure enough. But when you repent, one thing I loved about David is that when he repented before God and got it right before him, he laid that sin there and he left it there. He didn't keep picking up the same sin over and over and over again like many people do. We ask for forgiveness, but it's really not a heart of forgiveness. There's no conviction, because when you're convicted, when you're really, as they say, godly sorrow about something, then you don't want to look at it, touch it, taste it, see it, or smell it. But what we do, we just, Lord, forgive me. And we still have our hand on it. It's of quick forgiveness, but it's not a repentant forgiveness. Or we just don't ask for forgiveness, period. We just bless me, bless me, bless me. He said, do not look, so it was when they came, and I'm going to finish it here, that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. That's verse 6. People of God, we got to get a discernment. We got to sharpen our discernment, because many that are standing before us, the anointed has lifted off of their lives. I'm asking the Lord even now that he will begin to remove the scales, the rose-colored glasses off of the eyes of the saints so that they can really see people for who they are. That even as they're talking, you can hear what they're really saying. You're not hearing the sweet words, but you're really hearing what they're saying. I'm asking God to unstop our deaf ears so that we can hear in the spirit what folks are saying. Come on, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for my sisters. I thank you, God, for the people of God. Father, as we come, I thank you now. We just stand before you, Father, and we just ask for all forgiveness. We ask that you would wash us from our sins. Forgive us, God. Cleanse us in the blood of Jesus. Cleanse us in your word and make us whole. Father, even now, as you've given me your message to say before your people, God, I ask now that you would begin to put in us a spirit that will begin to seek after you, that will begin to hunger after you the more, that will not just seek you for the things, but that would really seek to please you and walk in your requirements in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, give us a paradigm shift in our minds spiritually, that as we begin to think like you, we begin to speak like you, and then ultimately we begin to move like you in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I thank you now, God, that you're moving and you're changing the lives of your people. We bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, for those of you who are not saved, please repeat this prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Save me. Wash me. Cleanse me in your blood. I'll serve you all my days. In Jesus' name, amen. People of God, if you prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. And we are praying for you that you will be led to a Bible spirit-filled church. Amen. Not any spirit, but filled with the Spirit of God and his anointing. Amen. That they will train you and teach you and lead you. Amen, and grow you up into the things of the Spirit. I'm Prophetess Crystal McQueen. I will see you again next week, amen, at 7 p.m. right here for another episode of Prophetic Atmosphere. And join us on Tuesday, amen, at 7 p.m. with my husband for Kingdom Lifestyles. Love each and every one of you. And do remember this, God is for you. Be blessed.